Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Mike Henderson Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is another Tuesday, wonderful Tuesday night, as we always do it on Tuesday nights, though, January 24th of 2017, and we're broadcasting live from the DFW Metroplex area of the great state of Texas, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Mike Henderson. Along with me are my two beautiful, wonderful, great co-hosts, Crystal Senegal and Vanessa Eccentric McCarroll. How you doing tonight, ladies?
Good. How are you?
It has truly been a week, even so far already, a week and a weekend. But anyway, tonight's episode is called A Black Family in a Trump America. Yeah, it's official. One, Donald J. Trump is the 45th president of the United States of America, and already the shockwaves are being felt around the world. But with all that talk about making America great again, what does that mean for the black community? You know, are things supposed to miraculously get better, or is history going to repeat itself? And we're going to delve in that real quick, like the majority of this day. But first things first, I want to send my condolences out to a family that has been touched by a tragedy that has literally swept social media. And this is in the case of the video that was posted a few days ago by a noted actor in the DFW Metroplex area, a young man by the name of Jay Bowdy, who committed suicide via live on Facebook, and is survived by his wife and children. We have six children as well. And this whole thing actually came out as a shock, and I got the notice about it yesterday, like the day it happened. And it is a tragedy, though, because of the entire, you know, North Texas filmmaking community is, and even beyond that, though, is actually shocked at the passing of this young man, though. I mean, BET has picked the story up, several other news sources online and otherwise have actually picked it up as well, though, and it is like really tragic, though. I mean, I met Jay maybe 2 or 3 years ago during an audition for a project that I was co-producing, and he was just, you could tell right off the bat he was a phenomenal actor. He really was, though. I mean, his performance was just absolutely mesmerizing. Even with that little bit of info that he actually had there, you could tell he was going places. And since then, I've actually followed his career since then as well, though. He's been in several projects, a lot of like local ones as well, though, and as well as some national ones as well, though. I mean, he truly had potential of actually doing great things with acting. And so we definitely want to send our condolences, our prayers to the family of one Jay Bowdy. So, and I really, really was actually shocked and taken aback, though, because, you know, having been acquainted with the young man, knowing him as well. And I think I also want to stress this also as well, though, because you never really know what people are dealing with. And he apparently was, you know, going through some things as well, though. And that's why I encourage people that if you're going through something, talk to somebody. I mean, reach out to somebody. Something's going on as well, though, because you never know. That could actually be that could be the thing that actually, you know, is the turning point and making a difference between someone, you know, getting through it or not getting through it. You know, if that makes sense. So, you know, I mean, and if you don't have anybody to turn to, though, there are you know, hotlines and organizations that do try to actually help with that as well, because they realize not everybody has someone to turn to. So I encourage people to really reach out, you know, on both sides of the deal, you know, as well. If you even suspect something is going on with somebody as well, though, don't be afraid to try to, like, you know, explore it further to see, because that might actually make the difference. So, you know, I really do, you know, it is something to struggle with as well, because he's had such a great future and such promise. So I'm just really, you know, praying for the family right now. You know, now, ladies,
oh,
I'm going to tell you, kind of give me a, huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Because I know it's
nothing.
Over when you say, oh, my God. I mean, no, come on.
Oh,
man,
nothing.
Come on.
It's
come
nothing.
On. This is me. Yeah, but it's me you're talking to.
it's nothing.
Okay. All right. Okay. I asked once, asked twice. You said it was nothing. I'm leaving it at that. Now, y'all been watching this New Edition story?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Okay, who watched it and who didn't?
Okay. I've been watching bits and pieces. My friend, she keeps watching it and sending me stuff on it. But I haven't sat down and watched the entire thing. Or the most of it or whatever.
Yeah, and you haven't seen it at all, Crystal.
Mm-mm.
No, I haven't. Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I did, and I got to tell you, that's good. That's a lot better than what Lifetime would have done if they had actually taken that off. It would have probably been Jack. I would have probably had, you know, I don't know, you know, Morgan Freeman playing Ralph Tresvant. I don't know. They made some messed stuff up sometimes. But anyway, now with tonight's subject. I know. Like we're going off into territory that not too many people are happy about, and there's a reason for that as well, though, because of this. You know, the reason why I came up with this subject as well, though, because I am kind of curious, and a lot of people, like since the election, since the inauguration, now that we're here at this point now, to where now he is the president, he is in the Oval Office, and it seemed like with absolute swiftness. Now, all of a sudden, here come the signing of the executive orders, which is the fastest I've ever seen anything actually go down like that as well. But I don't even think the two terms with Obama that executive orders came down that fast. And it still kind of boils down to what are we looking at here? You know, and I imagine a lot of his supporters are happy. You know, and I'm not necessarily going to say just, well, yeah. You know, his supporters are definitely happy, though, because they see something to gain out of all this. They see that, number one, you know, we don't have to worry about this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, because he's a businessman and he has X amount of dollars, that automatically equates to you being prosperous. Now, some people would actually say that the rule of thumb is if you follow millionaires and learn what millionaires do, you too can become a millionaire. That's not necessarily true. And some people can be so diversified when it comes to their millions and or billions, though, that they don't even really know how they even got to that point. All they know is that the returns that they got. That's it. And even arguing the point with another individual who was talking about the idea that, you know, because a lot of people are starting to worry about Trump's competency level. Which was what some of us kind of got to jump on that, though, before the election was even over. And that is talking about, you know, you cannot be dumb and be a billionaire. Yes, you can. Because all you really have to do is hire somebody smarter than you to manage your money. People do it all the time. People that are not comfortable with the idea of actually managing X amount of dollars. Let's say, for example, people that actually win the lottery and manage to keep their money for a prolonged period of time, unlike the average, to where like the average like lottery winner, usually it winds up broke within 5 years. Anybody actually going beyond that, though, has either done one of two things. Either they've educated themselves on how to manage their money, or they found somebody competent that could manage their money. Either way, somewhere along the line, something had to be a turning point. It had to. And I don't really think that, like, you know, with a lot of his business failures, if he's actually had though, and they're well past the 10 business mark, the number of 10, that he is totally confident with the idea of, well, because if he really actually knew what he was talking about and he really was actually that confident though, he wouldn't have so many business failures. In other words, Trump, you know, vodka would have done well. Trump steaks would have done well. You know, everything he actually put his hands on would have done well regardless. But that wasn't necessarily the case. Now here we are at a point where they think just because he's actually running the country, now we can, you know, we can supposedly, quote unquote, make America great again. But my question is still this: what does that mean for the black community? Does it mean that we're actually a part of that deal? Because if we actually look at here, like look at what's going on, you know, like from his standpoint, well before the election, during the election, and now at this point, though, it doesn't seem like there's too much that's actually playing in our favor. Because now it's almost like a complete and total reversal of practically everything that the Obama administration actually came about and did. Plus, with some new extra, because here's an individual that wants to pretty much like make a name for himself again. And it's nothing that I can see, you know, clearly from any standpoint at all, where he's actually helping us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Though. But even going back to that, though, a lot of people are saying that Obama didn't help us when he was through two terms. He didn't do anything for the black community through two terms. My question is this: what was he supposed to do? What was he actually supposed to do through two terms in office to make things actually better for us? Because a lot of people were expecting, and this is from 2008, they were expecting as soon as Obama came into office that black people would be running rampant throughout the United States. As soon as we got a black man in office, though, it was all over for white people. It was all over for everybody else, though. We would have like 40 acres and a mule almost automatically off the bat. And oddly enough, there were some black people that were expecting that. They were expecting, okay, well, we got a brother in office now we got to worry about a damn thing. You know, we're going to get this, we're going to get that, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. All our problems are over. Not realizing that it wasn't that simple. It was not as simple as the idea that as soon as you actually get somebody into that position, in power, that all of a sudden it was just going to be free reign. Because the Republican Party and quite a bit of legislation prevented that. They came out and openly said that they were going to block him at every turn. They were going to oppose everything that he actually like, and they were going to try their best to make him a one-term president. So even though we actually made it to the White House, we still got stopped at the gate. Now, by direct contrast, now that Trump's in office, everything goes. You know, it's almost turning into the governmental, you know, version of a fire sale. Everything must go. And my question would be, where does it end? I don't really see an end to it at all, though. Executive orders are actually coming down so fast, people are actually amazed, you know, at exactly what's even being put on the table. And, the pipeline, he's actually moved that, and you know, like where all the protests that they were doing, you know, with the North Dakota pipeline, all of a sudden now, it's been reversed. You know, the TPP, he's pulling, you know, he's found an executive order that should pull the United States out of that, and now he's going, and now even with the idea, also another one that where he's actually trying to actually curtail, if not abolish altogether, the National Endowment for the Arts. Pulling up, rooted up everything as well, though. In other words, and it feels almost a lot like the Republicans got him in a position to where now they can pretty much say, do anything. Though, of course, the first thing on the agenda was Obamacare. Repeal it and get rid of it. In other words, let's dismantle his legacy and just go for it. And then anything else that actually goes with that, though, you know, it's just extra. And next thing, though, and now with this ban that he has on media, and they seem to be spreading day to day, week to week, now he's starting to infringe on civil rights. So my question would be, where does it end? It's not good. I don't see too many white people worried about it. at least not too many conservatives and not too many Republicans are worried about it because it works in their favor. And then the tax cuts that he actually brought down as well, though, it's not going to affect the upper 10%. But it's going to beat the hell. But from what the way the things are looking right now, there it's going to beat the hell out of the middle class.
Maybe I'm not quite understanding the question as far as how Black people are going to adjust in a Trump America, quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm saying like that. You know, how are we? Well, you know, where do you think we actually fit in the scheme of all of this? Do you even see us even fitting at all in the scheme of any of this?
Where we've always been. This is not the first president that was a complete idiot. So we are a culture of survivors. We're like chameleons. We adjust to whatever it is. And it's still him being their president, because it's not mine, doesn't defy me as a Black person. You know what I'm saying? We still going to have the same struggles. And because Obama was a Black man in office, was delusional to think because he was Black, he was going to be able to change Black America.
Mm.
You know, he still had a job to do. So I'm just not sure with him being in office, with Trump being in office, that it really, really affects us really one way or the other as far as our survival mode.
So you don't really actually see like a Trump administration. Well, I'm just asking your opinion as well, though. Like, does it benefit us in any way?
Have any of the racist presidents we have benefited us? It's a question.
So you do believe he's a racist?
Bush, we have the same. You know, it's not designed to benefit us. Nothing is designed to benefit us. What we want, we have to get. So I don't see him being in office as any much different than the Bush or Reagan that's in office. You know, so, I mean.
Well, do you think Obama benefited us when he was in office?
I think, yeah, he did, because the Obamacare, regardless of how it's not, wasn't designed to make everyone happy, but it was there to allow people that has never had insurance or could not afford insurance the ability to have insurance. And the way that you're treated in a hospital with insurance and without insurance, it's a great difference. So, yeah, maybe the premiums were high or this was that, but it really gave some people, a lot, millions of people, the ability to have some type of insurance. And so, yeah, I think Obama has done a lot of things that has been a benefit to us. But there was a lot of things he couldn't do because it takes more than just him to make changes.
Yeah. And just being gutted like that, you know, like, I mean, it's just pretty much going down the line, trying their best to try to make, you know, and I don't think it's even about the idea of trying to make everybody else happy. It is about the idea of trying to make that upper percentage of the population happy. You know, because, the tax cuts that he's talking about, though, are going to benefit, you know, the middle class. It is going to, you know, it's going to benefit business owners all damn day. It, you know, it's truly going to wind up actually making them happy, though, because it doesn't going to cut into their bottom line that much. But as far as, like, you know, but as far as the middle class goes, they're going to suffer. You know, it's going to be great for business owners, but and it's going to be great for, like, you know, for everybody else as well, though. But still, it's really not going to wind up actually benefiting everybody as a whole, though. As a matter of fact, it's probably something to be worse. But he will turn around and actually look at it, though, because people think that because he's such a great negotiator when it comes to this, that, and the other, though. But look at the track record, though. I mean, like, he hasn't exactly done a hell of a whole very well when it comes to the idea of actually dealing with negotiation, though. Yeah. If you're going to pay somebody X amount of dollars just to try to get, you know, or get paid to get your name somewhere as well, that's all well and fine, because they figure it comes with some type of prestige, because some people latch onto that. Some people latch onto the idea of prestige when it comes to that. But they love the idea. And if it actually helps sell that idea or whatever it is, or that building or that hotel or what have you, they're all well and fine.
I'm trying to figure out where giving his praise that he's so smart and he's a great negotiator, he's a great businessman. I just don't see it. And it's not just because but I don't see, you know, you conning people out of money on a fake university or failing to pay your taxes and saying that you were smart or filing bankruptcy more than 4 times. How is he smart and a great businessman? I don't understand where people are getting that from. Like, you know, I don't get it. So to me, he's an idiot.
No, to me, it's more about the idea of, like, you manipulated the system and got over. And some people actually think that you're smart when it comes to that, though. They don't think you're brilliant because you cheated the system as well, though. You know, which to me, if you really think that's actually something like great, though, that's almost like a reflection on how you are. You know, I wish I had thought of that. You know, that kind of thing. You know, but yet still, if someone else was to go and actually do that, though, and this is the one thing I hate about this whole deal is, if someone else would have turned around and duplicated the exact same thing that you did, though, you would try to call them out on it. Trump would try to call them out on it as well, though. If they did the exact same thing. Because you notice how during the election, when he would say nasty comments about everybody, but as soon as somebody fired back one, though, all of a sudden they're being rude, they're being mean, they're being unfair, they're being untruthful, that kind of thing as well, though. When he did the exact same thing throughout the course of the campaign, and when you call people out on it as well, though, the first thing will say that's not what he said. Well, hell, you're confusing me, though, because apparently you mean to tell me what he actually said on the trail was not what he meant? Well, he didn't mean that, though. You don't understand what he was saying. I understand exactly what he's saying because I watched him say it. But yet still, I guess I'm not, I guess I'm not tuned into the same frequency that you would make me believe, though, because you heard one thing, I heard another. It's kind of like that old analogy, if you go to the movies, if all three of us actually went to one movie, all three of us would come away with possibly the same, either the same interpretation or three different interpretations of the film. In other words, all three of us actually went to go to see the same movie. We got something out a little bit differently, though. But here's the deal with that. If you're going to go that route when it comes to that as well, though, and you're going to try to bend it to where you like that, now we're looking at this latest deal he's got going on, though, with, alternative facts, which to me is like, alternative facts. That's something you freaking made up. Alternative facts, not the truth. Alternative facts. We have the right to have alternative facts. Which is the craziest damn thing I've ever heard. Though, in other words, now when in doubt, we can just make stuff up. We can just make stuff up as we go, and make it fit our own reality. In other words, yeah, this is virtual reality. Except you don't have the machinery. You don't have it. This is actually coming from people. You know, to where like, okay, that's not how we see it. We see it as this. Like, for example, the crowds for the inauguration. A photo doesn't lie. You know, you can manipulate a photo, but if it's exactly the way it was, what's the problem? You know, if you didn't get the exact same number of people to show up at your inauguration that the previous president did, and you turn right back around and say, well, you know, that's not true. But yet, so here's a photo with eyewitness accounts actually saying otherwise, and you're still going to dispute it. I mean, come on. It's the same way when he was talking about doing the campaign trail, when he was talking about, he saw people. You know, during 9/11, he saw Muslims on the rooftops, you know, celebrating, the attack on the Twin Towers in New York, which was proven to be false. But yet still, in a Trump reality, though, that's what happened. You know, I know more about ISIS than the generals do. That's a Trump reality. He knows more, though. Has never really been to the he's been to the region, but I really doubt if he actually went toe-to-toe with ISIS while he was there. The best I could probably hope for him actually being to do it when he was doing in the Middle East, though, was judging a beauty pageant or trying to open up another hotel. That was it. I really don't see him going toe-to-toe with those hardliners. I really don't. So how are we sort of putting any meat on that bone? But you understand, but going back to the subject at hand, though, knowing how his history has been with African Americans, knowing how his history has actually been when it comes to dealing with African Americans, though, I find it very hard to believe that he's actually going to work in our best interest. I really find it hard to believe. You know, people are out there trying to convince me of otherwise. Well, Mike, you know, the Democrats were originally Democrats were part of the KKK. They're largely Republicans now. Because I don't recall too many Democrats and, you know, like too many KKK Democrats openly supporting him during the election. And the first thing people want to say is like, well, you know, you're bringing up old stuff, though. And, you know, and really division didn't actually happen until Obama went into office. And I have to turn around and actually counter that by saying, stop acting like racism started in this country 8 years ago. Then one person actually said, and I'm actually quoting, said it's resurfaced 8 years ago. Division in this country resurfaced 8 years ago. Don't think about everything that happened prior to that. Don't think about, you know, the beating of Rodney King, the dragging of James Earl Burr, you know, the Central Park Five. Don't think about any of that as well, though. Nothing really happened until, boom, Obama popped in the office, though, and all of a sudden the country went to hell. Division straight across the board, though, because we put a black man in office. In other words, what you're telling me is, had we elected, like, you know, either McCain or Romney, we'd have never had division. No, I'll tell you exactly where the division lies. The division lies in the idea that you couldn't stand the idea that America made a choice that you didn't like because you wanted the guy in the top spot to look like you. There's your division. It's right in the middle of your head. But nobody wants to hear that, okay? But yet still, you want to turn around and actually throw it in my face. And I've heard this time and time again, well, I got black friends. I got this, that, and that. Okay, you can have black friends. I got, you know, that doesn't mean you like them.
True.
No, let's if you really want to get real with this, let's get real with this as well, though, because trust me, I know a lot of white people. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm hanging out with them.
Okay, and just this is coming from a media type perspective. Do you feel like we spend too much time on him rather than what we need to do to strengthen and change what we can change? Just this is what he likes, that everybody's discussing his behavior. Everyone is, you know, up in the uproar of the stupid stuff that he does. I mean, he's a reality star. You see what I'm saying? I understand he's their president and all, but I just feel like as black people, we spend a lot of time following a complete idiot, and that's what he wants. I mean, it's negative. He keeps feeding all this craziness, and it gets everybody in an uproar, and, it's just so much. Like, I didn't even watch the inauguration. I didn't turn my TV on. I didn't watch it. I was, you know, I just did not want to deal with any of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was just, to me, not a benefit for me to watch it. It was a joke, you know, and I just can't give him that much energy. And I can't give him that much time. People want to discuss it all the time. And, you know, now do I laugh at the stupid things that he do, like misspell words in his tweets? Absolutely. But if you think that he's going to make a difference for me, as a black woman, is a joke. Do I think that this whole politics election all was just a joke? I do. So I, as doing things for my magazine, I try not to really even entertain his stupidity, because the more we putting out what he's doing, it's distracting us from what we need to be doing. You see what I'm saying? It distracts me from what is affecting my community and how do I make my community better, because I spend so much time following this idiot that's just not a benefit to me one way or the other. He's not a benefit to my family. He doesn't represent me in any type of way. I mean, there's nothing that I can honestly say that I agree with him on, because I really don't know what he wants and don't want. He's just an idiot to me. It's like following around a dummy. It's like some people need to be leaders, some people want to be followers, and he's not, I mean, he wants followers. He wants people to talk about his every move and all the things that he do and how he just totally disrespects his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's going around, and he says something to her, and she looked like she was a child being chastised. So,
yeah, I saw
as
that.
A woman,
I saw that. I saw that video. I was like, you got to be kidding. Really?
You see what I'm saying?
I
but
mean,
what woman wants to see that? You know what I'm saying? So I can't, I have no respect for him, and I can't even follow the ignorance that he does. So I try not to spend too much energy on talking about anything that he is going to do for us, because we all know that's a joke. We all know that. So my goal is to work on what I can change and what I can work on as far as my community, my family, myself, you know, because he's not going to do anything for us, period, as any of the other presidents that were like him, which is everyone but President Obama, and that because he's black, it's just that he seems like a real person. You know, he's relatable.
Like a real person.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's not, he was just relatable to me. You know, him and his whole family. It's just like you can just, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know what I'm saying? The other presidents, you don't have that feeling with them. They are just, it's just crazy. I just don't even like talking about him because he's just annoying to me. He's just annoying, you know?
Yeah, and really, like, it's like, okay, we need to stop whining, we need to stop doing this. Because somebody actually put this, though, and this individual is black. They put this on social media, talking about we need to stop whining and grow up and try to support our president. And I was like, wait a minute, we need to grow up, though? When's he going to grow up? Seriously.
That's what I'm saying right there, debates like that. Like, I'm always a true believer if when someone says something and I know that it has nothing to do with me or I know I can accept those things about me, I'm not going to debate that. And when he said, when are they going to grow up, it's like, that's just a dumb statement. You know what I'm saying? We can clearly see that you're a overzealous, egotistical, big-ass, temper tantrum-having person. You know what I'm saying? He just, you know what I'm saying? So why would we even debate with him? Like, I don't even see why people waste their time doing that. You know, like, why are we talking to him? He sounds stupid. He looks stupid. He's retarded. And he's a joke. Complete joke. And that's, I mean, you know, it's just crazy to me.
And I see your point, though, the idea, like, you know, we instead of, and, you know, just an alternative, you know, instead of focusing on what we're trying to get him to do, this is an opportunity for us to take action on our own.
Exactly. Just do what we know we are capable of doing, that we have the knowledge to do, and move forward. I mean, he wants us to be divided. He wants the race wars. He wants all that. I can't entertain myself with stupidity because I have so many things. Go ahead.
But he also wants people to be dependent on him.
Right, he wants followers.
He wants followers. They're like, no, like doing that pitch to us that he had like that. Which this is probably, yeah. And I even during the campaign was trying. I mean, looking, digging, hoping that somewhere along the line though he was smart enough and turned the corner, but he didn't. On several opportunities, when he snubbed the NAACP, when he snubbed the Urban League, the Association of Black Journalists, and then had the nerve to stand up in a room full of white people and appeal to black voters, talking about what do you have to lose? Your neighborhoods are trash. You don't have no education. You have no jobs, no money, anything like that. So you get shot in the streets as well. What do you have to lose?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, why do we even have to waste our time and entertain someone that is just clearly an idiot? I mean, that's not. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard pill to swallow because I just think that we waste a lot of our energy and our time on a person that we clearly know is not a benefit to us. You know what I'm saying? I clearly know that this man has no good intentions for us. So I don't want to spend, you know, my time arguing the dumb things that he say or trying to justify the things that he say or, you know, giving my opinion about the things he says. I mean, we've had months and months of his stupidity. It's like, let's stop and let all his followers follow him. And so when he leads them off of a freaking bridge into the pits of hell, let them. Because all his followers are crazy, they're evil, they're mean, you know what I'm saying? They have no, I mean, I can't. I need to prepare myself for what we need to take care of.
Yeah. But the first thing they want to do is say, like, well, we're not like this and we're not like that. It's the liberals that are like this, though, and liberalism is what's killing the United States, and we need to get a hold on this as well, though, and all Muslims are evil and all that stuff, too, like that. You have built an entire campaign on hate and rhetoric. People have actually fallen into this crap, and guess what? Innocent people, as usual, usually wind up being the victims. And I had to set a couple of individuals straight this afternoon as well, though, talking about the idea of what has happened. Because this one person asked the question, what has happened blatantly racist in the last 10 years? I said, well, what about what I've actually like dealt with personally? And when I threw it out there, nobody had anything to say about it, except for one individual who decided to say that the KKK, they thought the KKK was just a bunch of yahoos. The problem with those yahoos is they still exist. The problem with those yahoos are they're still around. They still exist. They're still out there. And at any given moment, they can attack. They can strike. They could do something, though. Because guess what? Look what Dylann Roof did. Living in Charleston, South Carolina, though. Shot 9 people because he wanted to start a race war. And in turn, what happened with that as well, though? Here comes another yahoo, Michael Xavier Johnson, right here in Dallas. Killed like 5 cops. Set off because he wanted to start a race war as well, though. You set the tone for everything, though. And this was during the election.
And
because
see, and
you still
I,
have
you know,
individuals
I,
out there. You, huh?
I get that. I can't. What was this, the guy in Dallas that shot at the police officer? I really don't honestly think that was about starting a race war. I think that, to me, that was more about a Black Lives Matter.
That was retaliation. That was retaliation behind the two other shooting deaths. That's what that was about, though. That was he did state in his video that because Black Lives Matter and some other individuals not associated with them in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but he was tired of white people running over Black people. And he wanted to do something about it.
That doesn't mean that I'm trying to start a race war. That means that I am tired of the police brutality and having no consequences for your actions.
You know what that's going to kick off, though. For real, though. Because
okay.
Guess what? They're not going to just think that he's just killing cops. He's thinking somebody's going to want to actually think he's going after them because they're white.
Okay, I can't control what someone else thinks it is, but as Black Lives Matter and people that understand and can see that it wasn't about I want white people and Black people right. That he was upset with police officers. It was a direction to them. He didn't care about Black or white. It was just police officers in general. You see what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
he didn't target a race. He just targeted a profession, basically. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To me, that wasn't about race. It was more about being fed up and making a stance. Unfortunately, as tragic as it was, it made people pay attention. It made police officers feel like, you know, because when they're not being prosecuted and going to jail and they're acquitted for everything they do, it makes some of them kind of shake up like, okay, wait a minute, these people are serious. These white people are really serious. You know, because we're not accustomed to, in this day and age, to do that Black Panther movement type situation. They're not used to that. They're not used to people going back and retaliating against their actions. That's why they feel like they can get away with it. So when someone did it, it made them pay attention. That it was tragic and wrong, and I feel sorry for the families who lost because these people that you killed didn't have anything to do with it. But it was no different than these cops taking these Black men's lives as well.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I can't really call all of them, I can tell you like one right off the bat that should have never happened when it came to the idea of taking a lot of, and I'm sorry, that was Tamir Rice. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That kid was no more of a thug, you know, no more of a thug than the average white kid walking around the neighborhood.
Exactly.
No more. Exactly. But when it happened, that in itself right there, though, creates outrage, though. You still got people thinking you should go ahead and get over it as well, though. Not once did you actually hear this man even mention anything about that as well, though. But yet still, we're supposed to believe that he actually has our best interest at heart just because you actually make a plea in front of a bunch of white people talking about what do we have to lose? They asked me, like, we've already lost enough ground as it is. Like, just actually dealing with eight years of them obstructing our first black president. And then you come right back around, though, and not even a good week even passes by after you've actually taken over the Oval Office, though, but you're dismantling everything without even looking at it, though. Just so you can know like this. It's like it's malicious. This malicious intent is to try to erase everything, though. But guess what? You will never erase what that man stood for. You will never erase his presence. You'll never erase anything like that. You're trying to make it seem like he never even existed. And that's the one thing that actually burns me up more than anything else. So how am I supposed to believe in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you would even come close to having my best interest at heart? But yet still, you got people that are totally believing, though. And I let these individuals know, though, I understand why you don't get how I feel. It's a dog whistle to you. It's just like the same way, like, you know.
Obama doesn't exist. What did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said prior to that.
No, it's saying, like, you know, you're systematically trying to dismantle everything this man tried to do for 8 years.
I mean, look at it like this. They can see. He can't erase history. He can't erase what Obama has done and his family has done. So you can. Everything that Obama has done and tried to attempt to do and was able to do, he can get rid of all of it. Just because you get rid of something doesn't mean that it never exists. So we as black people are smart enough and more intelligent enough to understand what Obama had did for our country and what his family has done for us as far as the dignity and respect and the kids that can physically see that, you know, I could be a president one day of whatever. You know what I'm saying? They can't erase those things. You know, what president do you know that have someone make, you know, wrote a song for him and had poetry done for him and, you know, showed, I mean, it was a humongous thing for him leaving office. And I've never seen any other president get that type of exit. So just that alone is our history. So no matter what Trump does and what he takes out of Congress and, you know, whatever he does, it will never erase the 8 years President Obama was in office. Simple as that. So he can debate and change and do all that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me because he can't go in my head and tell me what I remember and what I don't.
That's true.
So that's just a waste of, you know, argument. I'm like, man, you can do whatever you want to do because you can't erase what I already know to be true.
Yeah.
That's just how I look at it.
Yeah, and then we're supposed to just sit back, relax, and not expect any backlash somewhere along the line, though. Because think about it, he was also saying, like, that, you know, if he hadn't won, that would have been. There would have been problems in the street and riots and all of this stuff too. Well, I mean, think about it. Why? Because of a bunch of people that just wanted a white man in office didn't get their way. I mean, I never once said that Obama getting elected was, you know, just meant that black people just got a free ride.
I don't know where anybody got that from. I mean, I don't even know where people even thought that. I mean, I don't know too many people that I knew that actually kind of thought that, but I'm sure there was plenty that thought that because that's the lack of knowledge, you know, in education for you to honestly think that was really what's going to happen. But I never thought that. I mean, to me, it was just a fact of making also history and making a mark. It was about the little things that we knew that was going to be a challenge from the time he started running for president. So all the little things that he was able to accomplish meant way more to me than the things that he was able to do for the country. You know what I'm saying? Because as black people, we look at those small things that he did that made us be like, wow, we, you know, he did it. And we as a people put him there. So it really to me wasn't about was he going to be able to change this whole country, because this country was already screwed up when he inherited. He inherited every issue that anything that could went wrong, just like most times, it always go fall in the black man's lap or the black person's lap. And he inherited everything, and he took everything on, and you would have just thought it was easy breezy to look at him, to think it was, he hardly ever really got upset and angry and acting a fool. He wasn't tweeting. He wasn't doing none of that. He did his job for 8 years.
Yeah, at least attempted to anyway. You know, at least attempted to though when he wasn't dealing with congressional obstruction, or like being stonewalled by the by the GOP. Yes, he was doing his job for 8 years, at least attempting to as well. And now, you know, instead of actually like, you know, nobody said Obamacare was perfect, but at least it was better than what the people had.
That's
and now
saying.
You're
it
willing
was,
to, put, yeah, you're, yeah, it, yeah, and you're willing to put millions of people out, you know, like fix it to where millions of people no longer have any health care just because you don't like because of what you actually put there, instead of actually building on it or at least trying to improve it. I could have gone with the idea of trying to improve it, if nothing else.
My thing is, I have Obamacare. You see what I'm saying? And it has been tremendously a lot of help for me. We're getting prescriptions and medicine and going to see your doctors and not having to go to an emergency room all the time. Things, whatever you would have to do, you know what I'm saying? Compared to when you don't have it at all. A lot of people not go to the doctor. A lot of people don't know what's wrong with them. You know, people will go when they have the flu. They don't do anything. So even though, like I said, it's not a flawless program, and what program is, welfare is not a flawless program. And it's been around for ages. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that weren't flawless. But for someone to come in and just say, I have no plan. I don't know what I'm going to replace this with to make this better. So that's off the bat. We see that he's not for anybody but himself. So I'm just going to get rid of it, and we're just going to take our time. It could take him 4 years before he come up with a plan. And he still don't have a plan, and then that leaves people still not having insurance and not even having the option to have insurance. So I don't even – that's why he irritates me.
and then like, you know, with the with the pipeline, now it's come to find out that he actually has interest in that. Yeah, he actually has like financial interest actually built up in that as well, though. In other words, he's connected to it financially. Isn't that like a conflict of interest somewhere?
Okay, everything he interest, not walking away. I mean, still heading up your companies and corporation is a conflict of interest. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not showing your tax return is a conflict of interest. I mean, everything he does is a conflict of interest, and we know that. So that's why I say we spend so much time talking about this absolute idiot of a man that it just annoys the heck out of me, because I'm like, what did we do for our black community today? What can we talk about positive with our black people? What have we done? You know what I'm saying? Can we just put something out on the media that is going to override his stupidity? Because we already know Fox and all these racist people are going to talk about him for 4 more years and how great he is and how wonderful he is. That was, I don't know, I sent something to you or I posted it on your page. I just want to blank. There was a young lady that wrote this book about, did you see it that I sent you?
Uh-huh.
The white chick that sent the thing. It was about, you know, we need to help white men get back on their feet or something ridiculous like that. Something about, you know, supporting our white men.
White men?
Yeah.
Supporting our white men? What?
Yeah. It's on your page. I had sent it to you, but I'll resend it to you. I can't even think of her name. I just went a blank.
It's on the show page?
No, it's on one of your show pages. Because I always post things to your show page. But yeah, she was, and I think it might have been about a week ago when I sent it to you, and I was like, read this. I'm like, this woman and her interview.
Oh, the White Male Survivor Guide?
Yes.
The White Male Survivor Guide, 2017.
Yes. When you read this article, she was also on, I think it's 101, it was it's a very racist radio station, and I don't know if I want you to listen to it or not, but.
Yeah, I see it right here, though. Okay.
And okay, they have people calling. You can talk to the host. And it is the most negative, racist. You know, we have stuff like this on the airwaves. You see what I'm saying? That's why I'm like, okay, you guys are putting out all this negative and stuff like that. Black people need to start putting out things about us and our positive things, because these things are out on the air. When them people have thousands and thousands of followers. And now Shift Girl, everybody, you go to her page, everyone's, oh, my God, this book is amazing. It's great. And I'm like, this book is ridiculous. And if you listen to that interview, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, I'm reading it right now. This is nuts. I mean.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that would be something interesting to talk about once you've had time to research it a little bit and you know, go listen to the station and things like that. Because I was very shocked to hear her actual interview. Because the things they were saying, I mean, it made me want to learn the poem. Because I was like, is she serious? I'm like, does this really make sense? I mean, the survival guide of white men, what are you talking about? You know, how black, and she was saying things about.
You see, it's this kind of crap. You know, they're building like careers on.
Yeah.
The white male, really?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it just sounds so, it's comical, really. It's really comical once you, after you soak up, like, how stupid it is. But I really want you to read that and research that whenever you get some time, because it was very.
I'm definitely going to check into this one, though, because this will look, yeah, you're just even from the surface, though, just glancing over, though, this looks crazy.
And when you hear her interview and she talks about black people and how we need to just get over our history and stop complaining. We're the one that's causing all the race wars and you know, we need to get over it. We need to get behind our black white men and support them and lift them up. And I'm like, what is she? She's like 20-some years old or maybe 30. I mean, she's young. She's just an idiot. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's something we're going to definitely need to talk about.
Yeah, for real. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I mean, no.
So that's why I figured you hadn't seen it.
No, I hadn't seen it. That is crazy. I mean, no. No.
But like I said, once you hear the interview, it's going to really sit you back, like, what is she talking? And then they were agreeing, and yes, black people are doing this. And so my whole point of that was, not only do they have this man in office that's full of hatred and negative, you know what I'm saying? We have radio stations like this, and books like this being put out. What are we as black people putting out? Because we're spending our time talking about it.
Do we put out something to counteract that as well, though? Or do we push past that, though, just like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high?
College and talking about the things we're accomplishing, the things we're going to do for the community, the things that we're doing to offset our kids, our generation. You know what I'm saying? We talk about businesses we're building and companies that we're getting together. They can't stand that. So they want us to retaliate. They want us to argue and fuss and no, we're right, you're right. They want that. But like she said, when they go low, we go high. And that's what I'm saying. So these radio hosts, and, you know, that's why Steve Harvey is getting it so hard right now. Michelle Cassette, that's why they're getting it so hard, because you if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we have these black people in positions that can really have these talk shows and have these things that we can talk about, but we spend so much time talking about Donald Trump. instead of, I'm sure that something happened in our community that was positive and uplifting. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it was. But we don't talk about us in a positive light. We have them talking about us in negative light. We don't need to talk about us in a negative light. We don't need to talk about you in a negative light because we already know what type of people y'all are.
Yeah.
So my goal is to make sure when we do shows or do the magazine or doing movies or whatever we're doing, that we're showing us in a positive light because they can't handle that. They can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the medium spectrum. We need to start just building our own radio station. You know what I'm saying? Where we can put out what we want. We don't have somebody telling us that we have to talk about these things. That's why I love, like, Being Married to Queen is probably one of my favorite shows in the world. Because she makes a lot of sense. She really makes you think about how media life should be when it comes to our cultures and the things that we want to talk about. And like you were just talking about Jay that committed suicide. He's one of us. And we should be talking about how do we help when we hear people, because we have this thing about you're strong, you can take it, you'll be all right, pray about it. You know what I'm saying? We don't understand that people need to be talked to. Some people want to vent. People need to cry. People need to talk about it. Don't just shut under the rug. Those are things we need to talk about in our community to make us better, because his life was lost. And everybody's sitting around thinking, what could we have done? Well, let me look at that text message he sent me. Well, what did he, you know what I'm saying? Did we go check on him? Depression, you can see it. You can hear it. I've dealt with depression, so I know you can feel it. You can hear it. People see it. Some people just ignore it. And our community is one of the worst to ignore things like that. We don't believe in counseling and therapy, and what goes on at home, stay at home. That's what we need to talk about, is how we make his story something that can be a positive thing to get people to really pay attention to the people around them and not worry about what the hell Trump is doing.
Good point. Real good point. So, with two minutes and change left, here's my final deal with this. And it's like this, and this is my final thought on this deal. I'm gonna chime on you as well, though, because I feel like I didn't necessarily need Obama in order to be successful. Okay, I was inspired by the idea, the accomplishments that he made, but it still lies with me on how far I actually go.
Exactly.
And you're right about the distractions, about everything that's just going on as well like that, though. And right now, it seems like we're pretty much going to be in for a 4-year ego trip for one person.
Right. Just a joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Just something to feed his ego so he can actually say he's the best thing since sliced bread. Which
he must have a little piece. That's why he got such a big ego.
Yeah, and so rather than feeding that, the one thing that we can do as African Americans, as Black people, is start working on the things that benefit us as a community.
Exactly.
You know, education, business, our own money.
Exactly.
Because there are pockets like the Hispanic community, the Asian community, they have their own money. They have their own banks. They have their own institutions. They are owned by them.
And then also with all these Black people we got successful, we need to start investing into our own colleges, starting scholarship funds for them, and stop wasting on shit like going and buying islands and all these cars and jewelry and flashing for the and chucking and driving for the white man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Kids trying to get out of college and our HBCUs are just failing because they don't have scholarships. They're privately funded, most of them, and a lot of them. But you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We don't invest into our own. And we need to do
exactly.
that.
Okay, exactly. Well, we have 60 seconds, though, so I want to thank Dee. I want to thank Crystal. I want to thank everybody that's listening into the show tonight, though. And I want to wish everybody a wonderful, rest of the week, a great weekend. And then join us back here next Tuesday here on the Mike Tennis Show, blogtalkradio.com, though. And thank you, B. I appreciate everything you said, sweetie. Glad to have you back. And like my man Deadpool said, cue the music. We're out.